From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Why Remain Captive? The text is Deuteronomy 30 and verse 3. The Lord thy God will turn thy captivity. God's own people may sell themselves into captivity by sin. A very bitter fruit is this, of an exceeding bitter root. What a bondage it is when the child of God is sold under sin, held in chains by Satan, deprived of his liberty, robbed of his power in prayer and his delight in the Lord. Let us watch that we come not into such bondage. But if this has already happened to us, let us by no means despair. But we cannot be held in slavery forever. The Lord Jesus has paid too high a price for our redemption to leave us in the enemy's hand. The way to freedom is, return unto the Lord thy God. Where we first found salvation, we shall find it again. At the foot of Christ's cross, confessing sin, we shall find pardon and deliverance. Moreover, the Lord will have us obey His voice according to all that He has commanded us, and we must do this with all our heart and all our soul, and then our captivity shall end. Often depression of spirit and great misery of soul are removed as soon as we quit our idols and bow ourselves in obedience before the living God. We need not be captives. We may return to Zion's citizenship, and that speedily. Lord, turn our captivity.
Yeah.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubts, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. As he proceeds with his study in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns will bring the final portion of a message called Rejectors of God, Rejected by God, an exposition of Romans 1:18-23. As Dr. Cairns has emphasized, it is the suppression of God's truth that is the foundation of all other sin. Man has no excuse for not knowing God, for even the very heavens declare God's glory. Verse 25 says that, sinful men have exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Because of this stubborn rejection of truth, God gives men over to a reprobate mind. Yet in the gospel, God holds out mercy and forgiveness to those who will repent and turn to Christ. Now Dr. Cairns brings the conclusion of this message, Rejectors of God, Rejected by God.
Verse 26. He gives them up by permitting shameless, degrading passions to find free expression. Because you see, sin is its own punishment, at least for now. And then God gives them up. This will not be very politically correct, but it's theologically correct, and that's much more to my liking. God gives them up by allowing the foul consequences of immorality to break out in the bodies of those who dishonor their own bodies with their wicked perversions. In 1 Timothy 5:24, we read that some men's sins are open before, going before them to the judgment. Here we read that God has spoken of those who receive in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. What are called STDs, sexually transmitted diseases, are not only a law of nature, they are the judgment of God. Dr. Bob Jones III got into a lot of hot water some years ago when he had the temerity to say that AIDS in America was the judgment of God upon the homosexual activities of those suffering from it. It was immediately pointed out others have had this through blood transfusion, others through infected drug needles that they had shared with others. All those things are true. But the fact remains at the heart of it all. AIDS in America is the sodomite disease. They have infected others. But it remains at heart the sodomite disease, protected by all the power of the U.S. government. It's a politically correct disease, and it's politically incorrect to dare to say that it's the judgment of God. But let God be true and every man a liar, they receive in their bodies that recompense of their evil and their error, which is right. And God gives them up by allowing sin to corrupt every bond in society, religion, home, marriage, friendship, and even natural relations. Here is the judgment of God at work. Of course, this judgment isn't limited to the here and now. Romans 2 verse 5 looks forward to the day of wrath. That's the ultimate force of God's judgment on sin, God's sentence on those who reject Him. Let me come to a final point. We would think that such a realization would make men take notice and repent, but that's not the case. For notice the stubbornness of those who reject God, verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God and they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Knowing that God has declared their sin a capital crime, Paul says they not only persist in sinning, but they applaud others that sin and consent with them in their sin. When I was a boy, Britain was rocked by an awful murder of a policeman in London. Two young men, one 19, one 17, if my memory's right, went out to commit a crime. The elder, Bentley by name, had a gun. The other had nothing but his two bare hands. But they went out together to commit a crime. Somehow the police had got wind of this, and they were there, and they cornered these two young crooks. The two young men were separated. The younger of them was already in custody. And then he said the words in which his whole case and his whole life was to hang. Cried out to Bentley, let him have it. And Bentley pulled the trigger of his gun and killed the policeman. In court, the young man's lawyers tried to give his words the meaning that he intended to say, let him have it, hand over your gun. He's asking for let him have it. But the jury didn't buy the excuse. They believed that he was not only involved in the crime, but he was consenting with his friend in the murder. And he was hung by the neck till dead. Be very careful. This is difficult in an age that's ruled by television. Be very careful about becoming an admirer of this world's sin. Don't add to your own guilt by wallowing in the pig pen of other people's filth. But rather repent and seek God's mercy in Christ. And I say repent and seek God's mercy because I think that Paul is saying all that he says here for this one reason. This is the reason for the whole exposure that he gives us of sin. It's to call men to repentance because he's setting forth the hope of the gospel. When we read this triple declaration, God gave them up, God gave them up, God gave them up, in English that sounds terribly final. It sounds as if there's no hope. But that would be a mistake. Because if that were so, why would Paul have traveled throughout the pagan world preaching the gospel to the very kind of people that he's here describing? Just remember that the passage we're reading tonight is part of an argument that justification is to be found only by faith alone in Christ alone, as revealed in the gospel. Because apart from the gospel, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Apart from the gospel and the righteousness of Christ revealed therein, God's wrath lies hard upon the ungodly. Thus, the call of Romans 1 is a call to Christ. That's the call of the whole New Testament. Romans 1:16, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So therefore the force of this is, look at where you are in your sin. Look at what sin has wrought. Look at the awful degradation of the world in its sin. And then recognize there's no hope for men in idolatry. In chapter 2 he's going to go ahead and show there's no hope for men in Judaism. There's no hope for men in the religions of the world. Let's kneel this tonight. There is no hope for poor sinners in Islam. There is no hope for poor sinners in Buddhism. There is no hope for poor sinners in any religion of man's devising. There is but one hope for the world, and it is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the story of justification by free grace that pardons sin and establishes sinners as legally righteous in the sight of God, acceptable because of the imputed righteousness of Christ. That's the only hope. In chapter 3, having pursued to the end this awful story of human depravity, chapter 3, verse 23, he says, all have sinned. All are constantly coming short of the glory of God. And then in verse 24, he speaks of being justified by the grace of God through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. You remember what he wrote to the Corinthians? It's a verse I have quoted again and again and again. Chapter 6, verse 9 and 10 gives you a list of sins. It really is another take on the same truth of Romans chapter 1. All the vicious, vile, wicked, degrading, shameless immorality that comes with heathenism. Then he said, and such were some of you. But I always like the divine buts. But you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified. Men and women, the gospel works. And I say to you tonight, if you're in this meeting, let me rephrase that. For there's no if about it. In a company of this size, there is no if about it. I say to those of you in this meeting, overcome by shameful, dishonoring, destructive lust and sin. I say to those who have exchanged the worship of God and the Word of God and the walk with God for the lie and all that that entails, I say to you that God holds out to you the hope of the gospel. There's cleansing from all sin. He can wash you. There's sanctification to set you apart from that polluted stream. There's justification to set you in a right legal standing with God. Lustful, immoral, filthy people can be as clean as the creation of an angel. Sodomites, what's the best news I can give a sodomite? Best news I can give him is, son, you are not suffering from sickness. You're suffering from sin. Why is that good news? Because that old book has the answer for sin. There's the hope of the gospel. As the young converted sodomite I met up in Western Canada came and said to me after we had protested the ordination of sodomites to the ministry of the major denomination in Canada, tugged my coat, and they said, I was among those people. And they were all around that campus. I was among those people. But I have found redemption in Christ. He can do the work. There's hope for the most hopeless. So I say to any unconverted, sin-defeated, sin-destroyed individual here tonight, I say to the young who are being tantalized by the devil down the broad road of filth to the pit of eternal destruction, I say to you tonight, come and welcome to Jesus. And then I say to those who are saved, if this gospel works as Paul says it works, and the world is in the state it's in, instead of simply sitting back and saying, oh, what a mess America's in, what a mess the world's in, and throw up our hands as if there's nothing can be done, the fact that the nation is under judgment in this way is a call to arms, gospel arms. It's a call to take the one answer to the human condition. That is Christ. As I wrote in a little booklet 35 years ago, it's gone around the world in its hundreds of thousands to the saving of many souls. Christ is the answer.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Founded by Dr. Alan Cairns, Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the Church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408, or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.